All right, so my name is Lita. I'm just gonna introduce your panelists for today's session, How to Advance Your Business Through Connectivity. We've got Jeff Ernst-Friedman, who is going to be the moderator, and he really doesn't need an introduction since hopefully you all heard from him earlier. And we've got Sandy Lackey with BWH Hotels, who hopefully you guys all also know. Paul Mason with Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. He's been there for 35 years.
No.
He's 35.
See, I can't.
18, yes, that's
you were born into it just like this. Anyway, he also doesn't need much of an introduction. And then we've got Brian Bell, who is the president of LinksRes, a leading lifestyle technology distribution company that sponsored 1.0 and 2.0 golf-like messaging for the Open Travel Alliance. And also Nick Henschel, who is the chief operating officer at American Tours International, ATI, and is responsible for developing and implementing the overall corporate strategy with an investment in technology, which is why he's here. So this is your panel, and I'm going to let them take it away.
Thank you, everyone, for coming to our aspect. There's a ton of educational opportunities. We appreciate you following up with us. As you said, I think it's exciting to see a group, a collection of who's commonly considered them competitors, but coming together to talk about a conversation about what is best, how technology best serves the industry as a whole. When groups come together to collaborate, you expand the ecosystem, expand market share, and there's more opportunities to take advantage of various opportunities to take advantage of. The industry, so I think it's nice to see that together. So I thought I would start from the far end and work our way over, and Nick, if you could talk about somehow kind of your journey with technology. We spoke, had the opportunity to speak earlier and about how your organization is pretty much is on the forefront of a lot of these things and with integrating technology. So talk about some of the challenges you faced and how connectivity has helped expand your reach.
Sure, thank you. I don't know about forefront. ATI has invested in our IT resources for a very long time. I mean, I guess since the beginning, obviously, we had to have a system, and it's a proprietary home-built system. We were discussing, you know, that and the connectivity investment really started over 20 years ago, actually more than that, with our clients, not on the supplier side, which started, I think, 13 years ago with Best Western. And has developed over the years, and so it's obviously changed from at the outset being a conversation that was had directly with the hotel chain to a conversation that involves third parties, which isn't necessarily preferred, but that's just the way that the industry has gone. So you know, switches like DerbySoft and HBSI and Synexis, ViaSabre, all have to be a part of, and there's many more, all have to be in the conversations now, and you kind of have to make a decision as to what makes sense for you. It's a tremendous level of investment that pays off, but requires constant, attention. And because it can get out of line, relatively quickly. So, I would say thank you to the OTA, compliance spec being there from, I believe, the beginning to help with that conversation. And I think it's really does make sense for us as our side of the industry to be a part of the conversation going forward. How you're designing or upgrading, updating those kinds of documents, that information that tech teams throughout the industry are looking at, really makes sense for the way that we do business. And so I think that that's good reason for the partnership to make sense to me.
So, and I have Brian Bell, LinksRes. You kind of you were, as you talked, as you were introduced, talk about the golf component of that, which was not traditionally part of the early booking experience. So, you can kind of talk about where the demand came from that, and then the technology and the integrating and working with the various stakeholders to bring that about.
We were involved with a project in 2007, 2008 with Hilton, and they had a big problem to solve. And the problem was that someone would book a hotel room, go to La Quinta, and in that process, they would also book tee times on the weekend. So those tee times on the weekends are very expensive on PGA West, and sometimes they had abilities to book you up to private courses too if you stayed on site. Then someone canceled their hotel room, but the golf course wasn't notified. And they wanted to integrate the Hilton Honors program. We were the second adopter behind Torrico to actually implement the Hilton Direct Connect. And they had just brought up the OTA schema stuff. And at that time, you had Kayak, TripAdvisors, American Airlines, US Airlines, all contributing to this phenomenon. And what we found out through the process was the fragmentation that existed on property level, from all the points of sales, from micros all the way over to other systems that existed, and the interoperability just couldn't come together. So our clients were trying to integrate to a system. At the same time, they would have to then, if you think about it, Hilton just has one property, but inside the Hilton family alone, you had just gotten the Waldorf Astoria brand stuff, you had gotten some other stuff that came in, and every property was owned by different franchisee owner or managed by different companies. So in that process, they needed to figure out how they could bring a single platform that Hilton Honors could integrate with. And we contributed to that process and allowed our clients to integrate in the front. And what we found out with the feedback is if you can give us one API that the documentation is there and we don't have to constantly, so one of the things that we will find out if you integrate to an API, if someone changes the API and doesn't notify you, then you have a system breakdown somewhere in the process. So this is why the OTA really, Open Travel Alliance became very interesting to us, and then we started developing 1.0, got involved with the industry, and then last year we launched 2.0 at the Ryder Cup in France, and we actually showed the interoperability piece where a lot of tension came down on the website. We had to make sure GDPR was implemented. We allowed interoperability to both the Best Western and the Hilton environments and other hotel chains too, and that's what we found our ability to bring that. Now the clients have, our clients get one standardized API, so we actually put out an OTA standardized API, so it completely follows the spec. And that's ultimately, if you look at the development guides from Wyndham, or you look at Best Western, Ron Troop, who sits on the board with me, and you'll see they're all OTA. So behind, like I was just out in Los Angeles last week at the Hedna event, and I found out that per day, there's billions and billions of actual calls that happen just at Sabre alone on the OTA schema. So the backend databases. And for the future aspects for golf, like when he was bringing up this NDC, so you're gonna start hearing more one order, seamless travel, those environments, ticketing is gonna disappear. So these are stuff that the industry has to start preparing for, especially the tour operators need to be very much aware of that, because the airlines obviously are going to be setting this trend. And so we're trying right now at Open Travel to bring the NDC and Open Travel Alliance schemas together, because right now NDC has 56 airlines that have adopted it, and Open Travel has 400 airlines that have adopted its air messaging. But you have to go from 1.0 to 2.0 or light messaging environment. So you're going to hear words like JSON, light messaging, you know, really most operators don't really know what it means, but as an impact in the marketplace.
So we had a unique opportunity, someone who's been with Wyndham since a teenager. And so I was wondering if you really talk about that.
Thank you, Lena.
So can you talk about really the connectivity of a brand, just a very well-established brand, and what does that mean for the partnerships and kind of the expectations about bringing on different elements as you build a larger brand and new offerings?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I definitely want to make sure everybody understands is that I am the commercial end of things. So if you start talking technology, I can do Excel spreadsheets and I can do email, but don't ask me to map this, that, and the other thing to you as operators or suppliers. That's not my role. My role is to make sure that those questions are answered appropriately by the people that are way more intelligent than I am when it comes to technology. But the journey for Wyndham has been a long and in some cases, a frustrating process, which I will openly admit to. We were one of the first ones to become involved with connectivity, and actually ATI was our first as well. Bob Chafee, who was the senior director many years ago with SendIt and Wyndham, actually came up with the idea. And funny story, I was hired 17 and a half years ago. My interview was at the Red Eye Grill in Manhattan. And he told me that, oh, I'm coming on board at the best time ever because we're going to start connecting with our partners through these channels. And we have these rate codes. They just have to be passed by our, at that time, I think 13 boards.
Not surprising.
So here we are 17 and a half years later, and we're finally getting to where I am happy. I am comfortable. We're going to be introducing new rate channels, more than the three that we currently have. And the process has been one of great support and understanding from all of our partners, some that are in this room, some that we are working with outside of IITA. But one thing that I can tell you that myself, and of course Best Western, that we are committed to this.
Can you guys all talk a little louder because the air in the back, the people in the back can't hear as well.
Oh,
well. So just project.
Well, you know, with my age, I don't know if I can do that. But we are committed to making sure that it's not just the needs of our hotels, which obviously we answer to. It's the needs of where the industry is going, where our partners are going, and where technology in general is going. We need to make sure that we find that common ground with every step. But without your help and support of telling us what you need, what makes you competitive, what helps you sell your product, is really what makes us successful. And it's taken me and my associates a couple of years to be able to get that across to all of the boards and all of our revenue management teams and senior leadership, but we're getting there. And that's the one thing that I want to focus on moving forward with everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you again to Sandy for inviting Open Travel to participate in it. Sponsor for us, so you have a unique situation with Best Western, a large group bringing on new properties all the time and being successful in doing that. So how is, we spoke a little bit about some of the challenges that these different properties have with updating information and providing the best service, because it makes it a challenge for you to serve the tour operators with the information wasn't being updated. So you want to expand a little bit on some of the challenges that faces when people aren't adopting a kind of a common standard.
Yeah, so kind of what makes us a little unique from some of the other hotel chains out there is, you know, Best Western Hotels and Resorts, obviously, you guys know, are individually owned and operated. Take a look at us. We're like a mini little government where but the cool thing is they got a vote in their business and how they do it. And so they vote upon everything. So one of the things that I was sharing with Jeff, I said, you know, based off of like the need you have or maybe a new product you might come about. Now use an example of hotels around cruise ports, which I'm sure you probably run into what I'm going to say.
Yeah, we have a few.
But, you know, with hotels coming aboard or changing flags, one of the things that our owners are tasked to do when they put in their information in our database is to list, like, you know, what's surrounding them for points of interest, right? So let's say you give me a call, Marsha, and you say, hey, Sandy, what are the hotels around, you know, I don't know, the Florida port, you know, cruise port areas. And I go in, now I can pull the hotels that are within Fort Lauderdale, but what happens is if that hotel owner did not put information of his point of interest is a cruise port, it doesn't pull, right? So that can be a challenge. And those are the things like that we hear from you that we can bring to, obviously, our technology department. So I know you share the same things I do, right?
I had this morning before I came to the general session.
And that's just a challenge. Not to say it's always going to be a challenge. These are the things we spot, we can serve up to try and make it more seamless for you guys in the future.
I think that the thing with the partnership that we hope to establish is the ability to look at you collectively as an end user's group, and that we can bring it to these when we go to the technology aspect of it, and how easy is it to implement it. And I think that's one of the exciting things about this relationship going forward. So this is a panel meant to be for back and forth questions. So is there anyone who has any questions they have for any of the individual panelists, or a question for across everyone?
I have a quick question. Sandy and Paul, more than anything, you were just talking about the amenities that are close by.
Yep.
How do we as a DMO communicate better with our hotels, because so many times they're not leaving that hotel? I mean, we have a few things here and a few things there. We've actually got more than 60 things. But I know you're not going to list all of those, but how can we help as a DMO get that information
to the hotels or to you guys? You're talking about tourist entities around the area? Are you talking about tourist entities around the area?
Around the area that would go on the hotel listing itself.
My suggestion, and I'm sure you would probably share this, is, you know, I highly encourage, you know, maybe, you know, I encourage my hotel members as well, you know, hey, are you on these CBB and DMO boards that they have or meetings?
Yes.
I would encourage to have a meeting, invite them all in, and see how, yeah, talk about how you can work together.
One of the things that hotels that I always stress with every property that I talk to, all 9,000 of them every day, is... you know, you're a hotel, and whether you're a five-star or, you know, you're the bottom of the barrel, you are there for people to experience the area around them.
Exactly, correct.
Whether it be a conference, whether it be tourism, what have you, you're a bed. Mm-hmm. It's what you are in all reality. And it is important that when our hotels put together their information, and when you help them with that, that they list all of that, because at the end of the day, saying I have great bedspreads and I renovated a year and a half ago is great, but it's not going to, you know, differentiate you from the property or the 20 properties within a half mile radius.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, you got a lot of trends that are popping up that you know, you're seeing that you're able to share with them where they could get it on, you know, their website or collateral or talk about it or the concierge, and that's what. You know, we keep telling our hotel members, hey, you got to get out there and find these things out, because I say the same thing you do.
Good question.
Thanks.
I have a question. Obviously, Marriott has made a decision to start moving with Expedia.
See, that was, what, 20 minutes?
You guys would be a great panel to be able to discuss how you're approaching it as individual property operators, and what goes through your minds when you hear things like that?
I would step in on top of that is that the Marriott is part of the board of Open Travel, so it's an organization that's investing heavily into the implementation of Open Travel messaging. It's an open standard, etc. So as far as their Expedia relationship, I would say that it's there. It also heavily invested. I can't speak to what that means, but they are heavily invested in Open Travel messaging historically and moving it forward. And we have new hospitality enhancements that were released just a couple weeks ago that they are on the forefront of pushing, that they are pushing out. Speak to what they will be doing with it, but I think it's independent of that arrangement. So.
But how did you want to? Did you want it from?
No, I appreciated maybe getting an operator's perspective of what this new development means to each of you, and then really how you guys, as independent hotels, are you seeing this as an opportunity? Is it setting? How's it affecting you internally in the organization?
Sure, I'll start. Well, I think it is an opportunity for other chains to that value not only the segment, but the investment that the segment has made over the years in technology. And so I think that that's a conversation, obviously, that we had with Miriam. Excuse me. I think, I think that Marriott is making a decision right now that's based on getting under control distribution that we all know how that got out of control. And it's primarily targeted at three companies that are now one. And so to be bystanders to that is disheartening, but I think it'll change. And I think that there's we've expressed, we being ATI, I know others in this group have expressed that this is the kind of outcome that could happen when you have a large entity that plays loose, shall we say, with the distribution. And Expedia saw that, and Marriott wanted to get it under control, and this was their way of doing it. So we'll see. I think from our perspective, there's opportunity, obviously, to grow with other partners that see it differently, that have frankly been more targeted in their approach for how to manage the distribution challenges, and that everyone has different technology as well that they're dealing with, and some are not dealing with large mergers at the same time, so they're in a different position for how they can manage distribution. I will say that what was presented as a solution to many that you could work through this entity, EPS they're called now, is not really a solution. And I think we all know that. So, and that's all been expressed, directly. So it'll be interesting. I give it 18 months and we'll all come back, or maybe actually it'll be almost that long when we're back together in San Diego and see where we're at.
I look at it from a standpoint that the voice of the leisure market hasn't been heard in the marketplace.
Well said. Well said.
And the revenue managers on site, Expedia has done a very good job, and Booking.com too, of really getting to the revenue managers. So if you go to a property and you look at there what the revenue manager works on, some of them have 20 properties, 30 properties on them, they have X amount of rate codes. And they didn't really have a lot of options out there. And then, not to name those three companies that are now one, they were just not good citizens in the marketplace. That's capitalism, that's good. But from the opportunity for what I see is that the other brands are hungry. You guys can direct. And when they start seeing this, the needle moving in the other direction, your voice needs to be heard. This organization should be heard. It hasn't been invited. You've been on the menu. You haven't sat at the table. So I think there is the great opportunity of HSAMI, for example, has a lot of the revenue managers there, getting the organization involved in that, and really allowing them to hear that they really understand how much you collectively represent in the marketplace of volume per year. And if you can really start moving that to key partners, buying those hotel brands that are key partners. Now, I need to watch out. I mean, Marriott sits on the board, and they are doing some exciting things that I can just go into that will benefit, that I do think, by San Diego. They are looking at this. The people who made the decision on the commercial side, and the technical people, other people weren't invited to the table. And when that exclusive deal came out, I just don't like the words exclusive. It just makes it that end. So I think the opportunity is going to be you can be heard as a group. It's not that you're going to be talking about pricing and stuff like that, but it's more that you're talking about we represent a big segment of international inbound, leisure travel, and that voice should be heard.
Can I just add to that before it goes to the hotel perspective? You spoke about the revenue manager, and hearing who we really are as a segment. I think that that's so critical, because I think that when they do hear what we deliver, you know, the booking window being, you know, over 6 months in advance in many cases, that they can't actually lay a base in at a rate that makes sense at that time, then I think that it will resonate. What happened is that those rates were not being sold 6 months in advance anymore. They were being sold right before travel. Guess through what channels. So this is what happened, and this is what is going to change as there's consolidation and change in the industry. So I think that you're right. If we can have that conversation as true inbound operators with revenue to express what we bring to the table in reality, I think that will resonate.
I agree. To answer the question from a hotel standpoint, because I've been with the company 17 years, that means that I have learned how to be politically correct with questions like that.
Yes.
I will continue to do so. and not mention the three by name as well. When I took over this position 2 years ago, I was always with global sales, and I sold what I now help strategize for. I was tasked with how do we deal with the issues of the three. And I want it on my desk within 2 months, and we're going to move forward. And the idea of trying to control, which is really what it comes down to, because the revenue manager are yelling at you, the hotels are yelling at you, and other partners are as well. And it becomes a problem. What, in my mind, happened is exactly that. It was a way to control. It was a good business decision on their part. Do I think it's going to be something that is long-lasting? I'm with Nick on this one. I think we need to wait and see. My fear is that other brands may jump to that same type.
Well, I think that's what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah, I think other brands, and that's what I'm doing. I think that other brands may look at it. We are not one of them.
Yeah.
We are not. We have our own issues with the E, as some hotel companies do as well. And we deal with them in a separate manner, in a separate way. We are not looking to combine our wholesale under that flag. We're simply not.
Right.
At least nothing that has been discussed with me, and hopefully they would do that, or else I'll be sitting outside of the hotel somewhere. No, nothing has been discussed with me on that, nor have I recommended it. I was asked, I put my recommendation in, I said no. I do not think it's a good way of doing things. I think there are other ways of working with all partners on connectivity. We are taking those steps, and a lot of people will see that in the next few weeks, which we're excited about. Not to sell Wyndham, I'm not going to do that in this panel. But I think each individual hotel brand and company has to look at it from how they can do what they can do to make it better for their hotels and their brands, not follow suit with what Marriott has done. Let them do what they need to do. That's up to them. They're also different hotels, different brands, different expectations. So to answer, we are not.
And, you know, to follow what Paul's saying here, Best Western or BWH Hotel Group, exactly right in line with Wyndham, where we are not planning to do that as well. I mean, we've been really good about keeping up our technology, which is why Open Travel Alliance made sense for us to get onto the board with them to help solve problems. So our technology has been good. I know from our standpoint, you know, obviously, at one point we had 11 PMSs. Oh gosh, yeah, right.
We have the same issues.
So we've narrowed it down to four. You know, we're not at one yet. Maybe one day we'll get there. I would love to see that. But you know,
and when you hear us announce a new brand, you guys are all excited and we're quivering. Oh my God! It means connection to channels.
No, I mean, so everything, you know, pretty much we're doing the same thing. We're not, you know, planning on going to E&M route. At least, and very much like Paul, at least that is something I've been told, you know. So we're also watching to see how it goes. But just like Nick said, things may be a different story next year when we're in San Diego.
I saw some hands go up. We go one, two, and then three.
Could I make a remark regarding this question?
Will you cede a minute for him to make a remark? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is like the presidential debates and stuff. Wait, I want my 30 seconds.
Your time is up, Senator. Your time is up, Senator.
I'm waiting. Yeah. From an operator's standpoint, in addition to what has been said already before, I would have to take a little bit more philosophical view. And we take more tactical view from what is really happening here. Technology is great. I embrace it very much. What I've seen happening in the industry, that decisions are being made about business processes that are existing and are evolving, but are dictated by technological solutions. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Is that we have seen that a lot of companies think that the technology is the solution. That is, of course, nonsense, because the problem is not a technological solution. It is either a distribution problem, integrity problem. So just putting a technological solution at a problem, like we have seen here with Marriott, is at best a partial solution. What is missing here is the lack of understanding in the industry that you cannot force the will of the market. And what I mean by that is that everybody's talking about yield and rates, and we're dealing with an inbound market. We are bound by European consumer laws, by truth in advertising laws in Germany. If you have a package, you must be able to sell it, else you can be taken to court and you will be fined. Mm-hmm. To cut your business license. So those are issues in markets that will determine why, for example, static rates are very important. Mm-hmm. Can decide interested or not interested, that's a very different story. However, just saying we have a technological solution and putting everything into a dynamic environment is only a partial solution. The other issue is also, and that is that we see very clearly on the inbound side, is that when you're working in a dynamic environment, connectivity environment, we see that youth management is taking basically 90 days prior to arrival. As I indicated already, we are dealing with markets of 180 days, or 270 days out. And what I think is underexposed here is the power of packaging. Two operators overseas, and also inbound two operators, are the ones who are creating demands. In my view, yield management is reacting to existing demands. When I look at and turn off the price of the day, I think it is very important that we as an inbound industry realize very well that creating power, steering business into specific directions, either on an inbound level, we are creating a package, or our tour operator are creating that, we are steering business, and that it must be very valuable to hotels. Because as valuable, and I, from my mathematical background and financial background, definitely says that there are merits to yield management. However, it is not the only way to go, because by going that route, you're excluding others. So what I definitely would to suggest to everybody is see everything in balance and evaluate matters for what they are in the real world.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to share with you, and you brought up great things there, and you know, obviously with Open Travel Alliance and adding the tour operator piece, because as you saw in what they have today, they don't have that voice right there. But now today with the partnership, and this is exciting, you're going to have that voice. So it's going to help in the technology, how it moves forward, especially like, you know, with your sourcing codes and your standards, you know, that you heard Jeff talk about earlier. So that's going to be huge. So, you know, that's now you guys are going to have a voice for that, which is why, you know, moving forward, we'll figure out ways to communicate, you know, what your needs are so that we all can serve it up, right?
You're
welcome.
Thank you. Hi. So as a DMO, it's obviously very frustrating for the static versus dynamic rate conversation because we're
35 minutes of the conversation.
We have a lot of operators, obviously, that want to include our product. However, our hotels are saying, corporate is telling us not to do static contract rates or offer them. And those who have, we have a few hotels that have signed up, for example, with ATI, and we're able to go back to them and say, here are your numbers through organic bookings, and here are your numbers through the static contracts, which are significantly higher. So again, looking at the chain hotels and understanding where we are, how can you recommend that we get around that?
Adam's considered
poverty level in our area.
I always consider Greg a friend.
Well, you know our area very well. I think it's something, it's a conversation that we always have.
It is.
And then eventually get to the point where the operators consider, and I know that the dynamic versus static rates are obviously, you know, booking windows or, but when you have an operator who wants to have a package and the rate has to be the same, obviously the static rates, as you all know.
So, go ahead. Do you want a hotel perspective or?
Well, yes, because that's what we're dealing with. It's an education process and we are having some reluctantly signed contracts.
Right.
You know, and they're saying we're doing this on Q3.
We're both franchise programs, basically is what we are. We you know, own nothing. We have two properties that we have partial ownership in. That's it. We have a management company that we can control how things are done with about 400 plus hotels. And then those other 85 to 8,700 properties are all franchise units or managed by different management companies, what have you. At the end of the day, this is a conversation that I have probably had for the last 5 years, okay? And I have also been tasked, as you know, because I sat on that board last year and spoke with your group, that our hotels in North America, and a lot of you already know this, it's not a secret, so I can say this, in North America, four Wyndham hotel brands, all 20 of them, have asked that they discontinue doing static level agreements, property level agreements, by March 31st of next year. Now, as you know, we are franchise, the key word there. We cannot, you have to stop doing static agreements. We are suggesting and we are trying to provide those answers to replacing that static revenue through our dynamic channels. That's what we're looking at doing. That's how we want to control it, with flat rates in the dynamic channels. Because at the end of the day, those three companies that are not to be named, like Harry Potter, did do a lot of damage when it came to revenue managers, corporate revenue managers, senior leadership. They did. And, you know, I deal with parity issues every day, but I'm more concerned about the 100 that I don't know about because hotels don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know. They don't understand it. They don't see it.
Educational aspect. If I could just chime in, though. Static was not the only reason for those issues.
No,
and deeply discounted package rates on a dynamic basis are also going to have issues.
And we've also taken steps on that as well.
So I know you have.
Yeah.
And also the three is kind of, you know, a proverbial, there's other companies out there that have this strategy, so we don't need to pick on. Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. And that needs to be more openly discussed.
Mm-hmm.
That the one who's leading the charge against the big three is actually the worst culprit of them all.
Well, they're pharmaceuticals. Right. They're pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
So we caused the problem and then here's the solution. We also created the solution.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
To put it into realm is you look at a revenue manager, corporate rates are gonna dictate. That takes a loan. I can't go into too many details, but the hotels have go to GPTA. You'll see how much corporate rates block out. The leisure rates are, then you have locally negotiated rates, which are static rates, which don't fall into a bucket, an S&P bucket. If you look at that overall problem, right, and then you look at a brand.com, and they're trying to drive it to their own loyalty program, you're so far down. And what Expedia is trying to do, and I'm just going to name it now because we say the A word, but we are we are looking at stuff in the marketplace where AWS and Expedia are coming together. Look what AWS did with Whole Foods. Anybody who goes to Whole Foods will see that. I just think because the political climate that's out there right now, they won't allow that to happen. But that's
at the end of the day, in dealing with your properties about this, one of the questions that we had put together, I think, was can they coexist? Can dynamic coexist? Was that, yeah, of course they can, sure. You have to manage it. You have to manage it every day, but of course they can. There's no reason why they cannot, as long as you're setting your rates properly and, you know, working within what the market conditions are, you should be fine. But you have to work at it literally, as I think we all agree, every day on that. So they can coexist. And in my off the record, which won't be off the record because I'm talking to 65 people here, I have always felt that static property agreements for wholesale are needed in many regions of this country as well as other countries. They will exist or survive with dynamic. Can't survive with just dynamic in Orlando. It's impossible. I mean, that's all I'll say. And my job is also advised that within my own company, and I work on that every day.
So just, you know, from a technology solution aspect, the revenue manager can open up in a direct connect, a static rate.
Yes.
It's just the educational aspects on the revenue management level. That's the educational aspect. And where your voice is not being heard, you're on, as I said before, you're on the menu. You're not at the table. And what we have to
can
make
I
sure.
ask a question? I'm sitting here in the perspective because we have conversations with revenue managers and the hybrid revenue manager and sales manager director. Do you think that there's a technological challenge to seeing, to looking at and analyzing what this segment brings to a hotel that far in advance? Are they, in other words, are they looking 9 months out at what we've already laid in? And could technology do a better job of showing them what, or is it just not of interest? Because
it's of interest.
It is, and I know, like with us, we have a revenue management team, which probably like you at headquarters, right? So our hotel members have that service.
Yes, same with us.
Not all of them tap into it.
Same with us.
But I can tell you that they have a system where they go through to help them, and they're already looking far out in advance,
And we educate.
Exactly.
We do as well.
So
education.
We go through, and we actually have webinars and go. Matter of fact, Matt just had a training session with them about maybe 2-3 months ago, and then we try to update them as we go along the way. But then there's that touch point that we need to get out. To the hotels itself, we have a liaison group. I know that we provide them information when they do go out to do the hotel touch point. We also do touch points to that liaison department as well. So it's a big training process, and it's continuously evolving for sure. And that's where our focus on one of our strategies this year internally is working with our revenue managers. We work closely with them. And I bet you if you ask Lisa, she'll tell you that's her top strategy.
I mean, we do presentations like what you did this morning, what I did yesterday for lunch. I'm constantly doing internal presentations on our program, on the benefits of our program with revenue managers and with our hotels. We get great response from our revenue managers and what we call our DFOs, our directors of franchise operations. They're out there with our regions and our properties. They're a great resource for us. But the problem that we have, that I'm sure that you have, that many hotel brands have, is getting the hoteliers to want to be a part of this, to understand how it works. I worked for 2 months on a program, which I was so excited. I read it to my wife 10 times. Now, yeah, this is going to be great. And I had 40 people show up out of, 9,000 hotels? You know, it's frustrating, but we constantly are getting it out there. And as you said, it's the educational part. So it is important to our teams. I always stress the benefits of, hey, these plans are for long range as well. It's about setting that base. It's about filling those holes that you know are gonna be holes in 6 months. Get that done with these partners, with this program. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had one hand up earlier.
So with NBC, there's gonna be a huge change the airlines are pushing from a sort of this is our price and availability perspective to an offer order matrix. And that's something Open Travel is very conscious of and started working on several years ago. And so how are your strategies, because a lot of what you're talking about is bound by the old, in that, hey, here's availability, working with tour operators, but when you get into offer and order as more of the standard of how things are put together, as opposed to I'm going to pick a room and I'm going to pick this, and everything's going to kind of evolve into more of a dynamic package, or the options and the offers are going to set it up so that you can offer a more dynamic package on a consistent basis. How does that play into your strategy going?
Well, we, as a company, have made a decision to completely embrace OMS, Order Management System. It's the future. We have invested very heavily in with IATA integrating NDC into that, because when American next year just gets rid of ticketing, a lot of people don't really understand what that means, but Sabre is going to lose that segment fee. There's a big court battle going on now with another operator. Department of Justice got involved. So similar to what ITA software did, but I would just say to this room is that we need to look to the future. One thing we did as a company many years ago, knew that 2.0 was coming, like messaging was coming. So if you take a hotel brand, for example, you have a loyalty program.
Yeah.
Well, technology couldn't keep up with it, so they went out to the third parties, right? Mm-hmm. And then these people on the brand side, in their own little world, make these connections in there, and the technology people didn't even know about these connections, and later on said, well, you have to do it because we're generating so much revenue for the brand, right?
It's all about contribution.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It's contribution to the brand. I mean, when you really look at why hotel companies have gone to dynamic, it's because it's a direct link into our systems for contribution, which is revenue for our company.
Right.
We're in the business to be in business and make money. And it's also to control. In other words, I have some great hotels, but I have other hotels that just don't understand that I can't reach out to them, and that's where those issues do come in that Nick mentioned. This is a way to control what we feel would be the proper standard.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that a lot of times I feel like we, something changes and we're spending time reacting to it instead of getting in front of it a little bit more. How do we do a better job as operators and as an organization here at the Strategic Partnerships, obviously, step one, of getting in front of things? Like, for example, as we only do groups, we only do student groups, the whole ticketless thing is going to be a freaking nightmare for me, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be a freaking nightmare.
And also for the airlines, it's a nightmare.
Exactly. So, how do we get in front of that conversation so that I don't get an announcement like Marriott made, handed to me, and then I've got to react to it? You see what I'm saying? How do we get in front of that conversation? We just had the same thing happen with Disney, with their technology for fast passes. The changes they made are horrid for students. They are just, I mean, I had a customer screaming at me on the phone yesterday, and I had no control. Disney did it. It's Disney's choice, and that's what they do. So, I get it, but how do we get more in front of that so that we can be part of that conversation?
Well, I think that's more on. All I'm going to say on this part is that with this kind of organization and the other ones too, creating these nonprofits also have to find a way to start working together.
Yeah.
And the hotels spend so much money. If you think about it from an airline standpoint, they have IATA. That's it, one-stop buying spree. You get into the hotel industry, you have now Skift, Focusrite. You have HEDNA, you have HSAMI, you have GBTA, you have Open Travel, you have this organization. There's only so much, and the hotels don't own those hotels. They're making a franchise fee.
Right.
So the contribution of that, of trying to bring more consolidation on the educational side, and then for your voice to be heard, what's not right now, again, I'll repeat myself on that thing, is that getting your voice heard, and this kind of organization can help your voice to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
There are changes coming.
Well, sir.
And these changes will have an impact the same way as the .com. You know, when September 11th happened, you know, a lot of the travel agencies, the hotels got really cold feet, right? And a lot of the, you know, you had all these, you know, the chargebacks, you had all these travel agencies and operators go out of business, right? They weren't the act of God. Everybody else got protected, but tour operators didn't, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to really look ahead. Nobody's going to look out for your own interest. The Europeans have better laws about that, like the Reiseschein or the Atoll license, you know, that's, and the GDPR stuff falls into it. But finding that kind of common educational aspect, I would say, is the most important thing, that you can be, you can get the information, and then you can make a really good business decision on your own.
But things like the Disney, I didn't know about that, to be honest with you. And it's obviously not what I do for a complete living, obviously, but it does affect you, which affects us. Those are the types of issues that should be brought to our attention here. Mm-hmm. That's what we wind up taking to the forefront and saying, hey, Disney, I know you're not a member, but, you know, what's going on? And it gives us a chance to talk about that openly so that we can try, as you said, to stay ahead as opposed to be, you know, reactionary.
Well, I think that the at the table and not just on the menu is really what we're talking about with Disney or with others. I mean, I think it's critical that this organization has a strong voice, but the destinations also need to speak up here. So Orlando, Florida, if it were a valuable piece of business, then please talk to Disney about why this is a bad decision. And that's hard to do, right? Because it often happens before they know. But we know that that we can all do a better job of showing the value of what we bring to the table, of our segment. And so, you know, it's really about both the people in this room just being, I guess, louder voices and more compelling voices, and also bringing in more interested parties to the table to express, you know, what our value is.
So just to bring the Disney thing, I think it would be a good analogy. Disney sponsored 2.0 Hotel. They were the sponsor, together with Marriott. They were the co-sponsor. So there was a whole bunch of people in DC getting together. We sat in rooms, and this was 4 or 5 years ago. Disney then got what out of the work groups what they wanted. They completely adopted internally their systems around. The problem was they only gave it to a couple of certain key people. Mm-hmm. And your voice wasn't heard in that decision. And that's where this impact happens, where you're having an IATA with NDC or the management system. Where is the, I always say, I hear the corporate voice very loud in there, and I hear that all the time, but I never hear the leisure side. And I'm a leisure guy. I'm a packager, I believe in that. You know, being able to peg pricing and static rates, I think it's very good, especially 300 days out, being able to sell a package. You know, those educational aspects, and that's when the technology, when the publishing, that with Jeff on board on the open source side, we're hoping that these voices, that your voices, and I was advocating from a board level very much, that this voice was missing. So there's all this new stuff coming up with NDC and OTA, but where was the leisure market in that? And that's one of the reasons why I'm with Jeff here on the board level. I personally wanted to make sure that this segment was not left behind.
One of the things I just want to throw in there, I mean, you're absolutely right, and thank you for that. One of my, our saying at our chain, our hotel, is always Dorothy Dowling.
Oh, yeah.
Her biggest saying, she will say, since she's been with our company 15 years as well, is technology is like speed of lightning. And she's like, and I don't even see it slowing down. So there's so much to learn and to continue growing. And like, you know, for example, like you were mentioning, you know, them taking, you know, information out of a closed group, you know, it's just like we've developed focus groups too. So we'll reach out to partners when we're changing technology maybe. There's different ways to get involved, but the key thing is education, keeping your eyes open and asking questions.
If I can just tag on to that real quick, one of the issues with Disney is the fact that hotels and parks are completely separate entities and they don't even talk in front of them. So that's a part of what has to be stressed. It's like their park technology sucks. Like, I don't know how else to say it. The ticketing system is 2 years old. If they know what it is,
I think you just did. It could be improved, is the diplomatic
word. Work in progress.
And they're working on it, but having been with the technology company that sold Disney tickets, you can't sell Disney tickets for 4 hours a day. I mean, that's 1985 technology. That's not where we're at from a standards perspective. And they know that, but in the same respect, this is the same company that turns around an entire set parks in one night to change from Halloween to Christmas. They don't have the time to affect possibly taking their ticket system down, which is where it goes down. So this goes back to that brand. How do you deal with that? How do you understand the technology that you're dealing with and apply through it? How do you, you know, push to a standard? Because the hotel side of Disney jumped right on 2.0, but the ticket side of Disney did not. And so now you have something that's next gen with something that's not, which, by the way, that is the travel industry. A bunch of legacy systems are working with a bunch of next gen systems, like making them work together is the secret sauce, right? So I think open travel is going to be a huge benefit from that perspective. I mean, Ken and I, when we were at Super Shuttle, part of the reason why Super Shuttle built their ground transportation API on open travel way back when was because we understood that in order to be adopted in the market and have the APIs there, that's how you get the travel. Which we hope that it wasn't enough, but we were building, so what are you gonna do? But in the same respect, if you guys can jump into the technology, if you can jump into the work groups, if you can help push that forward, adaptability through technology and your ability to very quickly connect to the different brands and give them different options is going to be the way that you grow.
Right. Thank you. We have time for, I think, one more question. I think I may have skipped the path, or maybe they're closer to the that's where the ideas come from. So is there any questions or comments from the staff?
I'm gonna follow.
Oh my God!
Okay. I knew it.
I'm not gonna stir up the pot anymore. Paul, you brought up a really interesting point that I was just thinking of. It almost sounds like the systems and automation are being driven. The profitability is being driven. You're trying to control the bookings, so you have that revenue stream coming in for your hotels.
Sure.
So in a way, it's almost like protecting that franchising fees and structures that you have. And I'm wondering if sometimes these larger hotel groups are looking at it and saying, wow, if we head down the path of American Airlines setting up its own ticker connections, bypassing GDS systems where we don't have these fee structures, maybe that could add going to the hotel side as well, and that would dramatically affect our franchise fees. Just a thought.
Wow.
That's the last question?
That's going to spark the foot.
Well, because I have a daughter in college and two more getting ready, I will say that those are decisions that are definitely not something that we would, and I'm going to speak for you as well on this one.
No, you're absolutely right.
That we would even be a part of at the table to have those types of discussions, nor do I honestly think it's that type of level of where you're going. I don't. I think a lot of it really has to do with trying to make sure that the properties that we represent, that they pay the franchise fees for to be a part of, are running their business as best they can with our help. Now, does that mean that we're going to make money? Well, yeah, we all make money. That's why we're here, to make money through direct contribution, of course. But by doing that, we're also making them successful as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they leave us if they're not successful. They join Best Western or Choice or what have you. So our job is to make sure that the systems that we have in place, although benefiting us as a company, as an organization, also benefits them. Because if we're benefiting, they are as well.
And another benefit, just to throw into what Paul's saying, imagine like some of our hotel members are very passionate about the brand, but you know their hotel might not be staffed with, let's say, 20 people. It might be maybe 10. So you got to take a look at that hotel owner, and it's like he wears like 50 hats. Yeah. So if he's got, you know, 20 extra nuts, he can't keep track of what his sales manager signed or whatever. So this is a great way to not only audit and keep things accurate for the, you know, tour industry, but for the hotel member as well. So it's a clean, and they're able to not only benchmark things better for the upcoming year, right, so that they can yield better.
Yep.
And, you know, it helps with the revenue manager. So whether it's a static or a dynamic going through that connection, you know, that's what makes it help for our, you know, hotel members. So we want to make things easy for them. Yep. For sure.
I think what you need to look at is that if you ever go to an owner's meeting,
they're
saying they're paying that franchise fee, and they feel like they're not getting their return on their stuff. We have new companies coming in from Asia and Europe, and they are actually lowering the franchise fee, and so you have that assault. And now you look at the market cap, and you look at Airbnb has a higher value than Marriott. So that's really where the branding stuff is coming in. And these companies are spending billions of dollars of maintaining their brand and that standard. So people go to Airbnb. Well, you stay at Airbnb, it's nice, but you don't know if you're going to get bugged. It's not protected. You don't have the same regulations, the same as Lyft and Uber didn't have that with the taxi industry. So you see this disturbance happening.
It's like dealing with hotels that shut off all of your channels and codes, and then they say that we don't get the contribution. Well, of course we don't, because you've got everything closed off.
Right.
So, and then they want, of course, their franchise fees to be lower or what have you. So it's kind of that ongoing. So, yeah, I mean, to ultimately answer that question, no, I don't think we're that bad. Although, you know, maybe, you know, other companies are.
You probably trade it too.
Yeah.
don't you see also that, of course, you're talking from a brand perspective.
Yes, sir.
But there are plenty of, but of course, you're a facilitator for the hotel owners and for the management companies. We see now already a lot of companies that are not brand affiliated.
Can you stand up, Peter? I'm sorry, we're having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry.
What we're talking about is of course, from a brand perspective, but what we're observing also is because you're a facilitator for the owners and the management companies of hotels,
sure.
They choose to affiliate with your brand.
Of course
not. What we've seen now is of course, in high demand areas where management companies are going independent and are creating their own connectivity,
of course,
so that they can afford franchise fees, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And that is a tendency, because what you have to keep delivering the value for the franchise fees. So we see that happening as well, and they're starting to use these, especially the ones that are larger, that are in the bigger cities. Simply, we see that the hotels are dropping specific brands instead of but that's driven for the demand.
Do you need a brand in the Poconos? Think about it. it's one of those things where if the demand is always going to be there because you're a seasonal type of operation, do you need a big brand to pump you with reservations that you're going to get anyway?
I know we're almost out of time, but I would just say I don't think there's that many of those management companies that are of a sufficient size to develop their own connectivity solutions. So I think that there will be some of that, but I don't think there's going to be a tremendous amount of disruption or the chains there.
So we're at time for our group. I want to thank our panelists for giving their time to help.
Thanks for coming and listening to all of us. All great questions.